From the Arts Center in downtown Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, folks, and thanks for tuning us in. Got a couple of interesting guests in the studio this morning that we'll connect with in just a moment. I've got Ernie Hood of his Radio In Vivo, your link to the science community, who's been around for a long time with WCOM, and also friend and historian Bob Crowley, who also happens to be the president of the Apex Arts Council, my underwriter for Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. He's going to be putting his 2 cents in wherever it's worth.
Maybe, maybe three.
Indeed. And I wanted to start the morning with something interesting. I came across Richard Lederer some years ago. He tends to travel the country and look for people that abuse the English language, or you know, signs that have misstatements or misspellings and things of that nature. And he wrote this poem that I just thought I'd start the morning with. And anyone is welcome to respond here. The past tense of verbs in our language cause so many of us to become tense that I've written a poem about the insanity. The verbs in English are a fright. How can we learn to read and write? Today we speak, but first we spoke. Some faucets leak, but never loke. Today we write, but first we wrote. We bite our tongues, but never boat. Each day I teach, for years I taught, and preachers preach, but never prought. This tale I tell, this tale I told, I smell the flowers, but never smold. If knights still play, or if knights still slay, as once they slew, then do we play as once we plew. If I still do as I once did, then do cows moo as they once mid. I love to win, and games I've won, I seldom sin and never son. I hate to lose, and games lost, didn't choose and never chost. I love to sing, and songs I sang, I fling a ball but never flang. I strike that ball I struck, this poem I like, but never luck. I take a break I took. I bake a cake, but never book. I eat that cake I ate. I beat an egg, but never bait. I often swim, as I once swam. I skim some milk, but never scam. I fly a kite that I once flew. I tie a knot, but never two. That's T-E-U. Wasn't sure about that pronunciation. I see the truth I saw. I flee from falsehood, never flaw. I stand for truth as I once stood. I land a fish, but never lud. About these verbs I sit and think. These verbs don't fit. They seem to wink at me, who sat for years and thought of verbs that fat, of verbs that never fat or wart. Anyway, there's something to think about. I'm sure I've twisted a few minds this morning. And why on earth is he doing that?
I always thought that skim milk was a scam.
Well, that would be with a C as the spelling instead of the K. There we go. And I think on that note, before we confuse people anymore, and I'm going to come back with our guests in full throttle, let's go to some music in the meantime so we can get our heads together.
The world of science is endlessly fascinating, and some of the world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio In Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community, right here on WCOM-LP-FM.
You're listening to WCOM Community Radio. Support for the station comes from our underwriters as well as our contributors and volunteers. We are your voice in our community. Now back to Claudio.
And at this point, I want to bring on Ernie Hood. Catch us up on what's been going on with the... That was just you plugging yourself.
Ernie and Claudio, let me just say this. Ernie, your show is so good. And listeners, Ernie Hood has one of the best shows on, not just here at WCOM, but in the area, the Triangle.
No doubt.
And Ernie, I make it a point to play your promo on my show every Saturday.
I love it.
And I wanted to play that now because, listeners, we have Ernie in the studio with us right now.
Because between Rocco's Music Hall and Claudio's Speakeasy, play my promo, maybe I'll actually pick up a listener or two because you have big followings.
Oh, you have a great show.
Well, hearing that promo, I was sitting here thinking, how can you be in two places at once when you're not anywhere at all?
Responding to your own ad. That's pretty cool. I need to do some kind of a plug for Claudio Speakeasy. I think Bill had me do some, but they come on other days. Not you know.
They do. It would be weird to play your own promo.
It probably would, just before I come on. Ego's not that big. Don't have that problem.
Kind of creepy.
Right. Back to you, Mr. In Vivo.
Indeed.
So tell me what's been going on. Catch us up with, because it's been a while since you've been on the show, and I've done a few interviews with you over the years about your fantastic show. Just curious as to what's been going on and what are some of your current favorite moments with people you've had on?
Well, this week, coming up on Wednesday morning, mm-hmm. we're running a, as they call it, encore presentation of a show I did a couple of months ago with Dr. Brian Hare from the Duke.
Encore presentation. This is your way of saying you won't be here.
It's a repeat.
Okay.
Yeah, indeed.
That's good. I like that. I need to use it.
Feel free. He is the director of the Duke Canine Cognition Center, and he and his wife, Vanessa Woods, just recently released a new book called The Genius of Dogs.
Mm.
And he's a brilliant guy, great conversationalist. It was really one of the best shows.
I need to go run a copy of that one.
Yeah, I got, you know, judging from the website, I got a lot of hits on that one.
Good.
And rightly so, because
well, I'm
he
a
is
big
so
dog lover, as you know. So,
and he's got some very very interesting science that he kind of blends into the book. You know, he talks about, it's some of it is kind of designed to entertain, if you will, and be interesting. But he's a rock solid scientist and evolutionary biologist, mm-hmm. Actually by trade. So he kind of sucks you in with some of the really cool stuff. And then really lays out some just fascinating science about the evolution of dogs from wolves, mm-hmm. and how they were domesticated. He's got some very interesting ideas that are not what you would think of right away. He thinks that dogs became domesticated because they were friendly towards humans, ultimately.
I can see that.
And that, you know, that relationship, and now we're talking over many thousands of years. And even physically, that relationship has affected the physical makeup of dogs and how they evolved from wolves to dogs. So, I don't want to give everything away, but it's really interesting
stuff. Tell people how they can get to that link, because I really think they should hear the show.
Well, they can, again, listen Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock. To the repeat.
Or otherwise go to the podcast.
Or otherwise they can go to radioinvivo.org, and the podcasts are all there, all 200 plus episodes.
I mean, everybody's got a pet, so this would be well worth listening to.
It's one for everybody. It really is. Anybody who's interested at all in dogs. And he's also got a great company that he has started called Dognition Incorporated, where you can send him some money and have your dog analyzed and rated for what cognitive type it is. So it's very, very interesting stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. How did you meet this guy?
Oh, he's very well known in the area.
Okay.
He and his wife both. He's been a highly recognized scientist for quite a while. So, you know, in the scientific community,
so
he's a rock star.
Yeah, I gotcha. I'm sure. So I know, I think the last time I had you on my show was at least the better part of a couple of years ago.
Yeah, easily. Mm-hmm.
So catch us up with what's been going on since then.
Well, more
as,
of the
as
same.
As to what you can remember, exactly. You
know? Yeah, really. Don't ask me what just happened last week, but 20 years ago,
I know you brought some notes with you of things you wanted to go over, so
well,
feel free
I just knew you'd probably be asking me about recent shows that people
absolutely
could tap into, so I brought my list. I can tell you about the next live show I've
good
got coming up, and that is not this coming Wednesday, but Wednesday, August 1st. And my guest on that show is going to be Dr. Tim Keary, who is a medical doctor and has a clinical practice. But he is also the director of the Cecil Shepps Center for Health Services Research at UNC. And he is also senior advisor to the RTI UNC Evidence-Based Practice Center. So he does a lot of research in health services and what they call evidence-based practice.
Hmm.
Some of that is comparative effectiveness research, where you're comparing different treatments for various conditions, which is a subject of some controversy, actually, believe it or not, particularly in political and policy circles.
Oh, I can imagine.
Talking about health services, about translational medicine, where we're trying to accelerate the process of translating from basic research to clinical medicine, which is very important. Evidence-based practice, which is kind of a trend that's been coming on for several years now in the world of medicine.
Proof that it works type thing?
Proof that it works, exactly, based on solid research.
Does he go into natural medicines as well? I would imagine that's part of it. Or?
You know, I don't know. We'll find out. And he... another aspect of that is health disparities that this center studies, and that is, you know, different methods of treating, you know, racial and ethnic groups that may, you know, they may have different access to treatment, and even sometimes different treatment, different therapies,
and really to a great extent, a different makeup overall.
Indeed. Yes.
Physically.
So he's got a lot going on, and so I've been working on getting him in for several months, and we finally worked out the schedule. So that's Wednesday, August 1st, will be Dr. Tim Keary.
Fantastic. Well, let's switch over to Bob for a minute. I don't want him to completely fall asleep in the corner over there. He's being lulled by all this information.
I'm
going to come right back to you, Ernie.
Sure.
Cue us in with goings on with the Apex Arts Council and so on. I just want to go ahead and get that out.
Apex Arts Council, we're as active as ever. We've got a number of things happening. The number one thing that's going on right now is our next iteration of our creative writing class, which is scheduled for August 10th, and there's still a few seats left if anybody is interested in learning how to write well, whether it's for business or pleasure, or you want to be a great novelist or a poet like Claudio or something like that. You definitely want to
die like Hemingway.
Yeah, well, you can do a lot of those things too. But if you're interested at all, just go to our website and you can sign up there and come on in. And some of the best writers, these are the instructors are both professional writers, editors, poets. Billy Akini is the lead, and of course Alice Osborne, who virtually anybody who's into poetry in the Triangle will know Alice. They will be teaching the class. So just go to the website, www.apexartscouncil.org. And you'll be able to see that. And then we're working on some other things. We've got a couple of shows coming up. We have the Three Rivers Art Show coming up in October, and right after that,
which is actually near
Sanford.
Actually,
yeah, it's about halfway between Sanford and Pittsburgh. Maybe a little closer to Pittsburgh. And it's a
fun
show.
Set up in a barn, in a horse barn.
Set up in a horse barn. I know you did the show 1 year.
Yes, at some point I'll come back.
And I'm sure you will. And actually, our favorite Jean-Paul McClellan actually was out there. I think he's back this year with his band. He'll be one of the musical acts out there.
Right. So he likes it out there.
Oh, yeah. It's a great place. It's a great place. You can spend the day on a horse farm looking at some really great art. And then we just have on the 2nd of November, Defining Design in Fuquay Arena will be having their art affair, and we'll be working with them on that. So those are the big things coming up, but I've got a few other things, as always, in the fire. And
fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Look
good
at
buddy
this.
Of mine just walked in. Audrey Layden. Hello, Audrey. Good morning.
Oh, my God. Hi. I was in
I
town.
Never see this gal anymore.
No.
How are you, Audrey?
We did a show together for a couple of years. A
couple years.
Yeah. Hey, kid.
How are you, Audrey?
Yeah, I was told the other day that you were having a party here this morning at the speakeasy.
Ernie and Rocco and Bob and myself on the same roof.
Certainly a party with you.
You were the only one missing, so that's
it. Right, so I got out of there in time. Come
fantastic.
On, say hi.
Well, pull up a chair if you'd like.
I will.
We can offer you a bar stool at this point. Here we go.
Claudio, as I said, I saw Audrey yesterday, and
yeah.
I asked her to stop by.
I am so glad
could,
you did.
You know, and as I said earlier.
Well, she knows she can bomb in anytime she wants.
I don't know when the last time Audrey, Ernie, you, and myself have been on the air together at this station. It's been a
historical moment.
And
Bob,
of
course.
We have
yes.
Bob here.
Yeah.
And we should go no further without giving a plug to Audrey's show, Carolina
That's right.
Bookbeat.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. She's been beating books for...
And how is that fine show doing?
We've got great new things coming up. We've got some great ones that we've just done. And I want to recommend to everybody a particular book, Long Gone Daddies, if anybody who likes Southern blues and Southern music.
Long Gone Daddies.
It's written like a song.
Ha!
Anyway.
Has a lyrical quality, is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's got a beat to it.
I'll have to look that up.
Neat.
But we've got some neat things coming up.
I like strange rhythms in my readings.
Yeah, yeah. We're going
Fantastic.
To have a monthly focus on speculative fiction. And Samuel Montgomery Blinn, who puts out the Bull Spec magazine. And speculative fiction takes in...
I'm glad you can say that word.
Yes. Fantasy and science fiction.
Uh-huh.
And just, you know...
I like that combination, yeah.
Yes. It
makes me think of Ray Bradbury.
So he'll be doing the first Monday of every month. He will be bringing in North Carolina authors of speculative fiction.
Fantastic.
And giving updates on that. We've had him as a guest before a couple of times and figured we ought to do this on a monthly basis. There's so much going on.
Why not, yeah.
North Carolina is a hotbed of speculation.
Yes, indeed. I think the world is at this point.
And then secondly, we're also going to be having a focus on North Carolina poetry.
Hmm.
And Sarah Clater, who is the...
Remember, we had her on the show together.
Yes, yeah. Right. And she's been involved with the North Carolina Poetry Society. Mm-hmm. She's put out a couple of books of poetry and is just a dynamic woman.
Yes, she is.
Who knows...
And a character to boot. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's spectacular. So she'll be doing the third Mondays.
Oh, fantastic. On a regular basis. Oh, my goodness. You're getting your tribe together, aren't you?
Yes. So, we're expanding. And you know, of course, Paul and I will be there doing our usual thing. But they'll be the first and third Mondays will be
fantastic.
Taken over by our team that we're building.
There's something I've been meaning to tell you about, and I meant to do it by email, but now you're here.
Uh-huh.
Somehow, this fellow from, I think it was at Harvard University, Bob, or somewhere in that direction, you know what I'm talking about, the Ray Bradbury thing. Anyway, from either Oxford or Harvard, I'm not sure, found out that I was a friend of Ray Bradbury's, and he produces short educational animation films that basically go out of their way to do a good job of introducing books and narratives for people that don't get the idea quick enough from reading the back cover or don't know enough. And Fahrenheit 451 is one such story. You know, people know that it's a book about... burning books and
right.
but there's little more than they know. The title is more famous than what the work actually is. Well, he and a group of five people at Harvard University, I believe it is, put out this 3-minute animation that does an amazing job of explaining what the book is. And if you've watched this animation, you've got to go get the book. And he's going to keep me updated with other little features that they create. And Bob has put it on the website with the Apex Arts Council that I write my film. Film and art reviews for.
Uh-huh.
So it's on that link.
I'll have to
so check it out sometime.
Absolutely. You can go read about it, and then the link is there so you can watch the video. And it's great. I mean, most people, Fahrenheit 451, even the title is a little nebulous. Most people don't realize that's the kindling point of paper, and that's what about book burning. So.
Yeah, that's the temperature that books burn.
Yeah, I've been planning now that I'm down in Moncure. And I
she has a cottage built.
Well, it's not. It's
or are you still in the yurt?
It's covered in.
Oh, so it's still
I'm
in the.
Hanging out
it's
the
not
trees.
Complete yet.
It's not complete.
Okay.
What needs to be completed is.
We're talking about
her
home she's
up,
building.
You know, the rough in has all been
okay.
approved. So we've got roof, walls, windows, you know, and all the wires. And
are you
stuff
occupying there. One of the roofed areas, or are you with your daughter?
I'm still with my daughter.
Okay, gotcha.
But just bringing that up to say that I have it in the back of my mind once I'm finished with this push to start exploring, as Claudia well knows and several other people who know me, I don't drive too far.
yes, I do know that about you.
I mean, it's going to be, I have to drive all the way down to Pittsburgh.
She did drive to Three Rivers once to come make
yes.
sure I had some decent art up.
Yes. But that'll change some, at least to explore a little from the Moncure area.
You've certainly put yourself in more of an area that you can branch out of.
Yes. So I might be, you know, showing up here at
Let me know when you want the tour. I'll tour you around the lake anytime you want.
That's
give you
fantastic.
All the history of it.
Absolutely. I figure I'd go to your little coffee shop there, walk in some
you
morning.
Could, you can do that or just call me up and say, Bob, how about coming down, pick me up, and show me something? I'll be happy to do that.
You got a date, honey.
All right. Well, on that note, let's go to some music. I think it's music time.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater.
You're tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill and Carrboroughs.
Sometimes your pain seems overwhelming. If the prescribed dose of your prescription pain medication doesn't bring relief, check with your doctor. Pain relievers are safe and effective when used correctly. If misused, you could become addicted or experience other problems. Take your prescription as directed, and if you need more information about addictions, call 1-800-662-HELP. Do the right dose. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
You're listening to WCOM, broadcasting from the Art Center in downtown Carrboro. Thank you so much for listening. Now back to Claudio.
And I thought I'd present my little radio theater moment here. Going to do a piece I wrote some years ago. It's part of my collection of maritime works called Seafarers. This is called Father Blessing. And I think it'll speak for itself. Father Blessing was an Irishman, of an Irish disposition, and rather quick to lose his calm for a man of his ambition. When his blood ran thin by a bottle of gin, he was a hard man to console, though nonetheless and by more than a guess, he did well in his priestly role. He'd saved many the neck of a self-imposed wreck, and kept many a ship from its sinking, so needless to say it was quite a dismay when the old man himself took to drinking. It seems his inner view changed, so with his mind rearranged, he assumed a new mode in his teaching. So as his church became smaller, and his tales all grew taller, he gave his soul to this new way of preaching. Said he, "To all your followers here who come guided by fear, and are lacking in inner ambition, I've concocted a cure that'll heal you for sure, and remedy your futile condition. Since from inner neglect we all lose self-respect, let's at least make good use of our loss. And since you've lost your direction, which is plain to detection, ain't it time to stop bearing that cross? There is nothing quite as fearful as a life less than cheerful, due to ways you have learned to perceive. So when you lose all good senses due to inner pretenses, it's quite a cure when you learn to believe. Now if you'd like just a sample of the perfect example, so keep your eye on this spokesman of sin, who has gone to great length to muster courage and strength by the neck of a bottle of gin. Well, you've heard of such preachers as are only good teachers by the way of their weakness and woes. So just learn to detect what such fools do reflect and perceive that not anything goes. So learn from the mistakes of such preachers and fakes and discover the meaning of life. For although they seem fools, they are heavenly tools who guide by their misfortunes and strife. Well, now that I've spoken, which is my gift and your token, I so hope you have learned to perceive there is no need for the strife on the wrong end of life, and it sure is a cure to believe.
You're tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Están escuchando a 103.FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Thanks for listening to our station.
I'd like to tell you that your host Claudio is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts, performing original and traditional literary readings. Claudio is a well-known classical poet and a master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com.
And thanks for taking the time to listen to that. I know I had you all subjected to it, so
Claudio,
there it is.
Claudio, that was terrific.
Thank you.
I'm going to tell you that. That was great.
That's one of my favorite pieces, and it's usually asked for. I'm going to put Ernie back on the grill. Give us some more stuff about Radio In Vivo. I notice the reason I keep reflecting on you is because I see all these notes here, and I want to make sure you get it all said. He needs a microphone.
No need to get all of it, said Claudio. I just brought some notes to remind myself.
Oh, I see. Okay, good.
Recent programs that people might be interested in checking out. And in the recent past, we've covered forensic anthropology.
Okay.
A woman who from NC State who goes all over the world and studies the forensically genocide victims.
Oh, goodness.
And working on identifying them and things like that. Mm. Really hairy but very interesting work. Another fellow from UNC back in February who is doing pioneering work on plant immune systems, which is a very, very interesting
something
area.
We don't think about.
And the plant microbiome. Do you know what the microbiome is?
No, I don't.
Is? Microbiome is the system that's tied in with your immune system in our bodies. Mm-hmm. We have them. It's all the microbes in your gut, without which we could not live.
Right.
And the microbe population in our bodies, actually the number of cells outweighs the number of our own cells.
I'll be darned.
So
and we're killing a lot of it off with medicine, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And another guy I had on a few years ago, that guy from Duke that people might want to check out, actually figured out that this microbiome is so important to our health and well-being that is actually the function of our appendix. This guy actually figured out what the appendix is for.
And even though the appendix is dormant in most of us, if not all of us.
It's dormant, but if you take, say, a drug or have a transplant or something like that that wipes out your immune system, the appendix is the storehouse for the microbiome and by proxy, the immune system. So it can recharge the microbiome in your body, and there's a lot of amazing science going on.
So not necessarily a good idea to have it removed.
Not necessarily, no.
I've had mine removed, but...
Well, you know, you don't have that sort of backup, if you will.
Right.
But anyway, this fellow from February, he researches the plant microbiome. They also have a similar system at work that feeds their immune systems and keeps plants healthy.
It makes sense that would be the case. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all taking place in the soil and in the root system. So very, very interesting stuff.
Ernie, I'd like to ask you a question.
Sure.
A biome also includes these large areas of the way life is going on in an area.
Mm-hmm.
Say like a continent, you know, the biome of North America, say in northern North America is different than the biome of Central Africa.
Yeah, so that would be what, I don't know if this is what they call it, but implicitly that you would think of that as a macrobiome.
Right.
As opposed to, you know, what I'm talking about, which is microbiome within your body.
I think there's 12 natural biomes that scientists have labeled on the planet.
Interesting.
And it's related to climate and latitude. Mm-hmm. And how much heat and sun and area of the world gets. But it's really very interesting when you start talking about biomes.
Absolutely.
It also sounds like it sort of intimates you more with looking at all life and our geographical element as something we need to do. We need to poison less because we take so much for granted when we spray these pesticides and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. We're actually injuring.
And even on the personal level, over abusing antibiotics.
Yes.
Or
taking a pill for everything.
Well, taking a pill for everything, but the antibiotics tend to kill off.
Right. That's what they're designed for, right?
And they're killing a lot of the good with the bad.
Right.
So there's a lot of work going on.
The good doesn't necessarily come back, yeah.
Not necessarily, yeah. So it's very interesting how that emerging science is really speaking to causing disease, preventing disease, and curing disease, or treating.
A lot there, absolutely.
Yeah, it really is. So,
who else? Give us the rundown.
Well, we've been doing a lot of, as we tend to do on Radio In Vivo, we've been doing a lot of genetics and genomics because there is so much work going on in that area here locally.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I should back up and tell everybody the idea of my show is to highlight triangle areas.
Yeah, that's what I was assuming. Yeah.
Yeah. And, 7 years now, I have not run short of
you never have.
Of guests doing pretty amazing science right here locally.
That's pretty extraordinary.
So kind of a scientific chamber of commerce, if you want to call it that. But we had Dr. Jim Evans back in February also, who was principal investigator for a study called NC Genes, which is a huge study of genetics in the North Carolina population.
Mm-hmm.
And it's speaking to developing genomics for clinical applications and for what they call personalized medicine, mm-hmm. which you've probably heard of. In other words, by sequencing, and in the future this will happen.
Sort of a tailored design.
Exactly, yeah. By sequencing every individual's genome, which is all different, theoretically it can be predicted how you as an individual will respond to certain drugs particularly. That's called pharmacogenomics. And that's personalized treatment. Because some people, you know, like, for example, Tylenol does nothing for me.
Well, me neither. But some people, a friend who lost his wife to
some
Tylenol.
People, yeah, some people swear by it. And so we all metabolize the various drugs, even, you know, relatively benign drugs like Tylenol, differently. So by having that genetic sequence in place, eventually your doctor will be able to know going in whether you will respond to
what your
to
map
Tylenol.
Is, so to speak. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's a positive.
So Dr. Evans, great guy too, very, very fun to listen to.
Good.
He is right at the cutting edge of all that kind of work. So we had a lot of fun talking to him. And one of his colleagues at UNC was on earlier this month, a Dr. Rebecca Nickmeyer. And she does imaging and genomics related to newborn babies' brains.
Oh, my God.
To take a look at their neural development, I think as early as 2 weeks old. And she images their brains and is able to work on analyzing their genomics, trying to see, predict who might develop psychiatric diseases later in life, because there's a theory that brain structure and structural development as babies grow is related to the development of autism, schizophrenia, bipolar.
There's also a big controversy about this being turned into a judgment call.
Well, you know, it is, yeah. But
publicly, I mean, overall.
Sure, absolutely. It hasn't gone far enough to
this guy's going to be dummy. Don't give him no job.
No, it hasn't gone quite that far to be very predictive like that. But, you know, she's looking at this neonatal brain structure. So
amazing. We're all under the microscope these days.
So we got all that. And then last week we had the Red Wolf.
The Red Wolf?
And,
As in the species?
As in the species. Oh, yeah,
interesting.
Which is the biggest and... I guess at this point, pretty much the only wild release program to preserve the red wolf, which is a different species from the gray wolf.
I was wondering, is this Montana or where?
Right
here
in North Carolina.
Really?
Right
wow.
out in the Albemarle in the Alligator River.
My goodness.
Preserve. So a longtime friend and colleague of mine, a woman named Delene Beeland, who is a science writer like me, she has just released a book called The Secret World of Red Wolves. The fight to save North America's other
wolf. Such beautiful
wolf.
Creatures.
Yeah, and she did a beautiful book and tells all about these things. And, you know, they're still very much endangered.
No doubt. I think so many of our endangered species, even the ones that are coming off the endangered species list, are really still in danger.
Absolutely.
I'd like to bounce over to Bob Crowley. We had a talk. I was actually going to do a show and then couldn't manage to do it around Independence Day. And you had some interesting history and historical perspectives to bring up about that.
Well, it's kind of a departure from what we were just talking about. And
We bounce all over the place.
Oh, I know that. I've been here before. Anyway, the
one Bob, zero Claudio.
Yeah. the whole genesis of this started, as you say, Independence Day, and we were talking about independence and so on, and I was explaining, and we got into a discussion of the lack of independence that actually a lot of people have. That you know, we claim that we want you know, independence, and it's written in the Constitution, it's written into the Declaration of Independence, it's written into all sorts of things. But what is it really? Where does it really come from? What is it? What does it mean?
Let me interrupt for one moment just to set a bit of a flavor here. I think what got us on the subject was the fact that I had met a German girl whose family was actually came over to the United States as indentured German servants,
right,
to people that were paying their way. So,
and we started to discuss indentured, and indentured servitude is actually where the whole thing began for us, and also here, and we got into talking slavery and such from that. And indentured servitude is not as heinous as it might seem all the time if it's done properly. Essentially, indentured servitude is when you you pledge yourself to work for a family, a person, a corporation, or whatever for a given amount of time in order to pay back them for having brought you to a certain spot and responsible for your maintenance and so on. As long as you can pay that off, that's fine. But that was the genesis of slavery in the United States, in that what happened was, and this happened in the colony of Virginia, it was possible for a white indentured servant, and there was plenty of them, to buy themselves out of the indenture. But it was made illegal for various reasons for any black person to do that, because they said, well, that's not our culture, and if we turn all these people from the jungle loose, we're going to have a problem. So if they come over, they can never buy themselves out. And that's really where it all began. And that led to the various forms of slavery throughout the colonies and later the early United States.
And some of that is actually still visible with the Mexican immigrants that come into the country, and they and they work these areas where I guess a community of farmers owns their work for a while, and in some cases makes it difficult for them to leave because they charge them rent and they charge them they have abusive practices on certain other levels to keep them from disappearing.
Exactly, but then we all know that Lincoln freed all the slaves and got rid of all that. Correct?
Yeah, wrong. Right. Who read
wrong,
that book?
Wrong. Wrong. We had the proclamation, and that led to the 13th Amendment. Everybody says, "Well, 13th Amendment that made slavery illegal." No. It did not. Let me read it to you, because most people have never taken the time to read it. It has two sections. Section 1 says
this neither would be the Emancipation Proclamation?
No, this is the amendment in the United States Constitution,
okay,
which was the follow-on to give it some teeth. And it says, Section 1, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. You can very easily keep any convict you want, as long as they've been convicted properly in a court of law, in involuntary servitude. So work gangs are legal. And what did they do in the South in the 1860s? They just found reasons to arrest all the blacks. And they used this part of the 13th Amendment to say, okay, now we can rent you back to your original owners as work gangs. And that's where all of the abuses came. Now, there's a second section here. Section 2, Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. So that means that, okay, this is what we want. Now, Congress, you have to pass a law. Congress never passed a law. The first actual prosecution was done under a presidential fiat in time of war by Franklin Roosevelt in 1942. So all of that was perfectly legal. All of the stuff that happened between 1865 and 1942, it was all done under a guise of legality, but no one ever realized it. And that's where a lot of the abuses came through. That's why we have a lot of the problems here, because no one ever took the time to actually read things, as happens nowadays, too.
Congress never reads what's put in front of them.
You know, the old saying, and I'm very fond of it lately, says that one should never look too closely at how sausages or laws are made. We have to start looking closer at laws. I've mentioned this before, but a couple of months ago I spent...
Are you basically trying to say that we are what they put in the grinder?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're not only what they put in the grinder, we're the ones putting ourselves in the grinder and turning the handle. Go down sometime to the legislature if you want to go down there on a Monday and even get yourself arrested if you've never had that experience. Yeah. But go down there and just sit in the visitor's gallery for the day. There are going to be days where you're going to say, yeah, everything's working good. But more so, you're going to want to throw rocks down into that that pit where your legislators and senators are. The things that get said, the things that get done down there will make you absolutely angry. Well, just to finish up the little bit on slavery, we all know now that because of this and the example of the United States and Great Britain and France, slavery has been abolished throughout the world, correct? Well, no. There are a couple of countries that never really abolished it, but it was never a big problem. But do you realize that about 10 years ago, the country of Mauritania re-legalized slavery?
I did not know that until you told me that this morning.
Central African Republic, sub-Saharan Africa. It's absolutely legal. You can go buy people there if you want.
So tourists are welcome? Is that what
you're saying? Yeah. I mean, if you take them out of the country, of course. But even the Bible says that slavery is legal. If you read it, I think it's in Deuteronomy that it mentions that it is legal to own a slave as long as the slave is not from your own country. So I can go own a Canadian if I want. So if any Canadians are interested in being purchased, give me a call. We'll do what we can for you here. But I could own a Brit. Heck, Claudio, do you have your citizenship? I could own you.
Uh-oh. We're going to have to see what kind of feedback we get for this show.
Yeah, right. But then if we go to Germany, you could own me.
That's it.
That, at least according to the Bible anyway. So it's not a sin, I guess. It just makes you want to think, what really does the things that we think we're granted mean? Even like, the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, right? We're guaranteed under that it is unalienable to take away our life. Well, that's a good thing. I want to keep mine. Liberty, well, that's independence, I guess you could say, as part of that. But, however, we've seen that is a little bit on the fringe. But even the last one there, the pursuit of happiness, that doesn't say the government guarantees you happiness. It just allows you the pursuit of it.
Bob, I'd like to ask you a question. Don't you think that the Constitution, our Constitution, was purposely written very vague so that each generation that comes along could interpret it for their times? And the Constitution is very vague.
Yes.
It isn't an absolute document.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the Founding Fathers, I think, knew that 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, 200 years later, this place was going to be different than when the Constitution was made. And they purposely made many things vague.
I certainly hope that is what happened. And I like to believe it is. And I would agree with you with that in most cases. But the problem is not the Founding Fathers. The problem is that as things change, people still hold that thing from the Founding Fathers as dogma rather than guideline.
That's right.
Yeah. I always like that line, my karma ran over your dogma.
Yep.
Someone with a satirical sense of humor.
Yep.
Well, we've got about 4 minutes to wrap it up, so let's go ahead and give contact information. Anybody want to say anything about their show? I'm going to include Audrey. Let's go once around here before we say adios.
CarolinaBookBeat.com will tell you everything we've had on for the last almost 5 years.
And you've got podcasts that they can download too, right?
Absolutely, download, listen to.
And it's always free.
Also, what's coming up next?
Wonderful.
Yeah, CarolinaBookBeat.com.
That's Audrey Layden speaking.
Okay.
And thanks for the opportunity to showcase our shows, Claudio.
It was just an excuse to hang out.
Yeah, well, exactly. my show is Radio In Vivo, and you can access that at radioinvivo.net and .org and .com. Work can take you to the same place.
And check it out.
And got the full archive of more than 200 shows over 7 years there. And newest wrinkle is now have set up the podcast on iTunes. You can go to iTunes and subscribe, and any new show will automatically be downloaded to your device.
Oh, fantastic. I didn't realize you'd done that.
Just recently did that. So welcome to the 21st century.
Yeah, right. I'm waking up slowly. Yeah. Bob, one more time for you and the Apex Arts Council.
Although I don't have a show on here, I do have the Apex Arts Council, my first love, and we are doing lots of wonderful things in Apex and the surrounding area to encourage and promote the arts. And if you want to see what we're doing, if you want to become a friend of the council and give us money, please, then you want to go to our website, and that's www.apexartscouncil.org, apexartscouncil.org, and you'll find out all sorts of stuff and Come on. It's a lot of fun. And you'll find Claudio's reviews of movies, and you'll even see my picture.
Film and Art Review, as a matter of fact, that Bradbury piece we talked about earlier is on there. So just
yeah, and that's a really great piece.
Just go to the Apex Arts Council website, and you'll find the Film and Art Reviews, and you can pick that up.
And, Claudio, we should certainly take the opportunity to thank Bob and the Apex Arts Council for their support of your show and of WCOM.
Absolutely. And on that note, I would also like to say that WCOM needs all the funding help it can get. So
yes.
Don't forget us in that department.
And don't forget, I think, doesn't somebody else here have a show? Doesn't he get to plug his show?
Oh, of course, Rocco. Rocco, plug your show, please. We're all plugging. Let's not leave you out.
Well, my show is Saturday Morning Music Hall. None of the shows are podcasted. So if you want to hear the music, you have to tune in live. Live. 9 until 12 noon, you'll hear some of the best music ever recorded. I promise you.
I'm sure. No doubt about it. And he's had this show on way, way longer than since the beginning of WCOM. And we were talking earlier this morning that one of these days we're going to come in and Rocco and I are just going to do a music show. So
it'll be a lot of fun,
yeah.
Claudio.
So that's coming up at some point. We don't know exactly when just yet. Thank you once again for tuning us all in. This is Claudio signing off. Until next time, cheers.